I would like to introduce to you Dr. Randy Seabolt. He's the academic dean at Weimar College. And he has been there for what, about a year? Is that how long it's been?
About 6 months.
About 6 months, a half a year. And originally from Michigan, where he was working there in the educational department of the conference. Dr. Seabolt, we are delighted that you are here. Thank you.
Good morning. We'll test these microphones and all this. Oh, that's good. That's working. We have technology, the blessing and the curse. You know that, right? Along with lots of other things of life are that way. I'd like to start out with a couple of questions. Number one, do you have your Bible with you? Let's see them. Let's see. We have our swords with us. Praise the Lord. All right. We have some learners among us, don't we? The next question, and I pose this to my students quite often. Do you have your notebook with you? Are you ready to take notes? Are you a learner? All right, we got some back there. It's one of my students. That's right. He's got brownie points right there. You got some good. You're going to take notes. I have. Shameless plug here, weimar.edu is the website. This is my notebook. I take it with me. It goes with my Bible. I take it with me a lot of places. And I have learned to become a student of life. And I learned long ago that when I was a student, I did better if I took notes. You following me? So we take notes on life and do a little learning along there. So those are my two questions. I next have two apologies. Number one is that while this presentation is a setup for this afternoon with our How to Study the Bible seminar, and maybe that's another good shameless plug, it should be quite fascinating. I've been looking at the organization of it and looking forward to it. But while that's the case, I'll also talk about education. And so that's my apology. I just am hopelessly addicted to learning and to education, and I can't help but share it. So that's the first apology. My second apology is they say never start out with apology, so I apologize for starting out with apology. That's my second one. I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Father in heaven, I thank you for the blessing that you will give us this morning. And there is no doubt that if there is any blessing to be had, that you will be the deliverer of that. That this weak and not humble enough servant will probably try to take credit if someone walks up and says, "Thank you, very nicely done." Because I know me, Father. I beg of you, please speak. Speak to each individual heart, and maybe you don't even have to use my words, Father. Maybe there's a voice inside of each heart. There's an angel, there's a Holy Spirit speaking to each heart and soul here today. We ask for that collectively, for that blessing. And we look forward to seeing how you will answer that. We ask in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll start right off with, I want to share with you a quote, but what the quote does is it makes me realize that I don't know education. And fortunately or unfortunately, I have a PhD in education, and this quote reminds me of that. And it's actually the first sentence in one of my favorite books. The book what? Education. Oh, see, you have it memorized probably, don't you? You know that first sentence. Don't you? How many How many think you might have an inkling of what that first sentence says? Anybody in here think you? I'm not going to ask you to say it up loud. Or maybe? Okay, maybe not. All right. I just happen to have my book here. And I'll read it for you. Our ideas of education take too narrow and too low a range. So think about that. You start out a book on education, and already you're sort of cutting down the listener. Hey, you don't know education. In fact, if you understand what I just said, now you're ready to read the book. Right? We have to understand that we don't understand education. Not sure we can do that. Well, I want to thank Kayla also for bringing us our scripture. That was nicely done. She did it in spite of having a stool to stand on and get up here. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good having young people involved? You know that's the future of our church. That's obvious, right? That's the group that's going to get it done, folks. We need to be about training young people. In case us older folks have realized it's hard to train ourselves. I mean, we can learn new tricks. I know the old adage, but we really need to be about training young people. That needs to be more and more our focus. That's where our hope of getting home is going to come from. As we get started here, I'd like to have you open up to John chapter 17, the fourth of the Gospels, the fourth of the four Gospels. As you're looking for John 17, I'll have Mike turn the projector on, and I will come back to John 17 in just a bit. We'll come back to that. I want to dive into one of the most amazing things that just shocked me. Can I get just a little down on this? Thank you. Four words. And these four words are, I think, quite profound. Now, the amazing things about these four words is that they have a profound impact on your life. They have a profound impact on education. They have a profound impact on how you study the Bible. How you study the Bible. And maybe even why you study the Bible. These four words. So it's actually found in the ministry of healing as a certain, I'll give you the page number at the end. There's this little phrase. It can mean so much. So in this paragraph in the book Ministry of Healing, this little paragraph, the paragraph, let me describe it for you, has three sentences. The last two sentences start with it, okay? And it refers to the first four words, which are these four words, of the first sentence. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the three sentences in reverse order. So which sentence are you going to see first? Yeah, the third sentence, then you'll see the second sentence, then you'll see the first sentence. But just for fun, I hope it is fun for you because it'll be fun for me, to hide those first four words, and I'm going to put it again in the first sentence. Okay, so this will help challenge you, kind of wake you up a little bit. You know, some of you had a long week, and hopefully you're not ready for nap time. I don't see anybody napping yet, so get your elbows ready in case that does happen. Four words, here we go. You ready? Third sentence. It is this alone that can make us like God in character. Is that pretty powerful? It obviously is pretty powerful. It's this primarily that makes us like, wait, hold it. Did I miss the quote that? It's this alone that can make us like God in character. Okay, this is a good one. It is the only real safeguard against temptation. Anybody want to be safeguarded against temptation? Anybody running up against temptation? We need a safeguard, do we not? Okay, sentence two. You ready for sentence one? Here it is. It is the foundation of all true education and all true service. Okay, you got your thinking caps on, you're wrestling, got some ideas. All right. Anybody want to give it a try? You want to give it a try? All right, okay. Oh, very, very close, but that's five words, I think. True is not in there. A knowledge of God, yes, there. That's it. In fact, it's, and I know why you said that, because the chapter title is A True Knowledge of God. That's why. Go into ministry of healing, a fascinating chapter. A True Knowledge of God. That surprised me. Anybody else that just weren't really expecting a knowledge of God? A knowledge of God. Let's take a look at the paragraph all together. In fact, why don't we all read it together, okay? A knowledge of God is the foundation of all true education and of all true service. It is the only real safeguard against temptation. It is this alone that can make us like God in character. Thank you. Wow. Knowledge of God. Make us like God in character. This kind of has that feel of something that if you could grasp it, if you could find it, if you could attain that, that sounds good to me. Like God in character, that's the thing I'm struggling with, this character thing. Well, so I think about, well, okay, what is a true knowledge of God? And so what I think of is I think of this, you know, well, why don't we, John 17:3. You may have read this before, where we found John 17:3, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Get a different version, try to follow along. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That they may, this helps you get eternal life. This is eternal life. This is eternal life, is to know God. To know God. There's something about knowing God. And so we use the word know, knowledge, in many different ways. What I'd like to do is take a look just briefly as we start to set up this these deeper questions we're going to get to, this book of knowing something. So we'll take a look. We'll go back to Genesis in chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 4 in Genesis. You know the story of Genesis 3. It's the fall. And in chapter 4, it starts right out with a man knowing a woman, and the woman conceives. And so we have the word know being used, that as I dove into this just a little bit, is the word yada. It seems a little odd for me to hear somebody say, and yada, 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 right? I think, oh, well, no, well, oh. So I quit saying that after I read this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, those things. So that's this word, and she conceived. So apparently 944 times in the Old Testament this word appears. It's used in lots of different ways. I want to dive into just one, just touch on it briefly. In Samuel, you know the story of Samuel. It's in the book of Samuel here, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Okay, you remember the story? What's happening to Samuel? Beginning of chapter 3, he's laying down and he hears the voice of whom? God. He hears God's voice, doesn't he? Right? So he stands up and he does what? He goes to priest Eli, right? You know the story, right? Goes back and forth, back and forth. Tucked into this Bible story is a verse I didn't recognize before. I was too busy in my mind visualizing Samuel running back and forth to Eli. Have you ever done that? You know, whether it's the Bible story book or whatever it is, that's where my mind is at. And I missed verse 7. Look at this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Guess what word that is? Yada. Did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So this is a young man, yet he hears the voice of the Lord. He doesn't yet know the Lord, but there's something that this author of this says he doesn't yet know the Lord. There's something that he's seeking. There's this bond, this deep relationship. So clearly knowing God is not just knowing about God. Don't we sometimes seek a lot of knowledge about God? Right? We know a lot about Him. We know a lot about what He teaches. The question is, do we know Him? Do we know Him? So, if that's a good thing, and I think that is, maybe we could ask, how do we achieve that? Does that sound like a good question? That would be the next, as I was thinking about this, that was my question. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, one of the great summaries of learning. A great principle of learning is found here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. There's a couple of key words in here that help to draw a picture. Ellen White, after we read through this, I'll give you Ellen White's summary of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, are beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So we have this, you know what that summary, that quick little tight summary? By beholding we become, you've heard that before. The principle of this is found right here, 2 Corinthians 3, 13. That principle of by beholding we become changed. There's this need for us to become changed is to behold God. To behold God is to become more like Him, is to know Him. This is amazing to me. Isaiah chapter 45. This is another delicious one. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God and there is no other. I find myself walking and I hear the Lord say, turn to me. To behold Him, right? You following? Okay, so it's looking, it's beholding, it's turning to God. Let's look at another one. Numbers 21, verse 9. You've heard the story before. Numbers 21, verse 9. Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on the standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Right? So what was the action when the person did what? When they looked. Somehow there's this attitude that we have to have of seeking God. This attitude of I have to know you. And that the scriptures help to reveal this. Then, okay, this is going to bring us to another piece, this looking, and then there seems to be another step. John 13, move back to John. John chapter 3. And I think you may know this area before. I dove in. All right. I accidentally turned to Matthew. That's not going to work well. I thought that looked funny. John 3:16, you know this, right? Let's start back at 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, right? And why does he need to be lifted up? So all can see him, behold him, turn to him, right? Then the transition, verse 15, and whoever does what? Believes. So when we look, we believe. When we look and see, we have an action of belief that needs to happen. This belief, and John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. What a core foundational understanding. How would one believe if one did not see? Right? Our task, our role is to see. So we need to spend time seeking. We need to spend time looking, turning, and believing. So, it seems like if you want to know God, not just know about God, right? That you have to have a conversation, right? So, I heard it recently, it was wonderful, you've heard this before, I'm sure, to get to know someone at the college, you know, we have these young people that have not met before, right? And so they look over and there's Mary over there. So who's Mary? Who's Mary? Who is she? Oh, that's neat. Hey, you know Mary? Yeah, that's Mary. I know a lot about Mary. Do I know Mary? What do I do? Go talk with Mary. Talk with her. Engage with her. That is knowing Mary. The longer, the more deep, right? This is not just knowing about, it's knowing. So this prayer in Bible study certainly is this. So what is it that we use? What is it that we use to really know God? What do you think? What do you use to know God? Spend time with him. Right. Good. I'm sorry. I heard a bunch of others. We'll just take a few. What is it? Bible study. Yes. Okay. So you trust your Bible? This is really a fascinating thing to me. There is a type of perspective that one needs to bring to Bible study that is different than you bring to any other book. I think, well, let me ask you this question. How many are absolutely convinced that the Bible is the Word of God? How many? So we're there. This was amazing to me. I was born and raised in a quasi-Adventist home. My parents were, I'm not sure I would call them ex-Adventists because their names were on the books, but they weren't attending church. So I grew up in this kind of offshoot Adventist home. But my parents knew well enough to put me in Adventist education. They had met through Adventist education. They put me into an academy. And that's where I met Jesus in a new way. Baptized my freshman year. Praise the Lord. And I do praise him for what happened to that in that year. Now, honestly, I have to be honest with you, it wasn't this deep study sharing relationship. It was about me. You see what I'm saying? It's about me. How does it make me feel better? Because I don't feel so good, so now it helps me feel better, which is a great start. And so the Lord blessed in so many ways. I went on to college and got married. My lovely wife's back here. 4 children. Now our 5th child, Freddie. Need to meet him. And God is blessing. So in the middle of this journey, I find myself in this paradigm of logic where I'm not really studying the Bible, except, you know, I'm going to Sabbath school. I'm active, maybe a Sabbath school teacher. They got me doing that. I struggled. I was probably in my mid-20s. Somebody asked me, we went to a little church in Edmore, Michigan. Anyone heard of Edmore, Michigan? You know, I just thought maybe I'd do some instant bonding. No instant bonding. Okay. Anybody been to a small church with a membership less than 100? Okay, got some bonding going on. Needed that. Thank you. Went to this church, probably attending in the morning Sabbath school with the adults, which is where I was at. I would guess maybe 25 people by the time Sabbath school broke up for groups. Okay? So that means when you start Sabbath school, how many's there? Yeah, 5, 7, you know, something like that. And so the Sabbath school superintendent, since we lived about 2 blocks away from the church, we were always there, we walked to church, asked me, would you lead song service? And I like to sing. And I said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. That'd just be way up in front. I couldn't deal with that. So, I mean, you know that feeling, right? And so finally, you know, it's like, well, just listen. We'll start 5 minutes early. There won't be anybody in there. And we'll just get rolling. And then as they come in, okay, I can do that. So we did that. I started feeling, oh, this is just more of a conversation with some friends I know. So and it wasn't so bad. So anyway, the Lord broke me in. But I'm in that situation. I'm going to this little church. And I'm being logical with God's way of thinking. I'm using, I'll put it in the terms that I use now, human logic. Okay? I thought in my mind, God is logical, therefore I can use logic to figure him out. So we would do things, and I would think, well, you know, God's kind of this way and that way, and so he's probably like this and this, so therefore I believe this and this. And I would use this logic to try to understand God and who he is. Well, I ran across a verse a few years later, and this, it's sad to say, I was in my 30s, and I ran across a verse that shocked me just a little bit. So I ran across this verse, and I said, well, obviously that's not true, because, you know, we've been thinking and reading this other verse, and so this verse isn't really true. It must be some metaphorical way of it. Well, I don't think I used that word back then. But anyway, some bigger idea about something else, right? And then it hit me. I was teaching at Andrews University, working with Samuel Pippen at the time. Anyone know Sam Pippen? You've heard him speak. He was working on a book and finishing it up. I was helping him with some graphics on it, and the book is called Receiving the Word. And one of the pieces of that book, as we were talking, so, well, tell me what the book is about. I want to help you with this. And so he tells me, you know, you come to God's Word because it's God's Word and it's not yours. God's, you know, a little smarter than you are. So you just take it as God's Word and you believe it. And so when I read that verse in this Sabbath school class in the basement, it was a little cold, but that's okay. I open this up, I read that, and I go, I'm getting a little conflict here. There's a little conflict between this logic or this other verse that I had and what I was just reading. So I said to myself, you know what? I believe God's word. So that must be true. And I have no clue what it means, but I believe it. Now why do you laugh at that? Doesn't it seem a little odd? I believe something I don't understand. Right? Okay, so this is the way I've been thinking about this. Tell me if this makes any sense to you. I'm trying to figure out. Now take back. This is me maybe, I don't know, in my teenage years. I'm trying to figure out, is the Bible really God's word? So I'm looking at it, I'm saying, is this really God's word? So I'm looking at evidence and I'm reading it and I'm going, wow, this speaks to my heart. And I'm looking at, you know, the prophecies, and I'm going, man, this just, so all this, and it builds up, and I come to the point where I go, oh, this is God's word, right? And I make a choice based on the evidence. I'm getting, you know, I'm getting this and getting this. All of a sudden, I understand now, right? I've got these little pieces of evidence, this, and so I come to this spot where, okay, I've gathered all that. Now I understand, and I believe. You following me? So my belief is based on all these things I've gathered and all this evidence, and I've come to understand, and so now I believe. Now let me, this is what's amazing to me. That's how we come to know that the Bible is God's word. But that is not how we find out what God is like through his word. We go exactly the opposite direction. Rather than getting piece to piece to gain understanding so that we can believe in the Bible, now that we believe in the Bible, we read and read and read and we believe so that we can, what's next? Understand. You know, God has all kinds of things he wants to share with us. This Bible is priceless. And he wants to open up things to you in your relationship with him. But you have to study. And in fact, you have to come to that study and saying, I want to know you, Father. I have to know you. And I believe this is your word. Therefore, whatever I read, I believe. You following me now? So it's God's word. We believe it. Now, one of the amazing things about this is that it changed fundamentally the way I approached reading of Scripture. When I read, it's not a book, it's God speaking to me. Does that make sense? Wow, that just changes this. This is human logic versus divine belief. So, why is this important? I mean, that would make a lot of sense to me. So what does this make? Well, for me, it makes a big difference because I have a tendency to argue with God. I don't know if you have that same problem. I have a problem. That is, I argue with God. So God says to me, can you go over there and do that? And I say, no, why? Hold on a second. Do you think I really need to? Is that? Let me ask you, say, from a human logic, now that we've accepted God's word says to do this, does that make any sense at all to argue with God? No, I think there's a principle here. I think the principle is when you argue with God, you're wrong. Is that complex? Second Peter chapter 1. Great and precious promises. How do you dive into this? How do you access these promises? If you've studied the Bible and have come to a conclusion that it's God's word, then I suggest that we know him. That we see him, that we believe him, and that we allow ourselves to be changed by him. That's a gift, you know, right? Praise the Lord. By trusting God's word as God's word, when you study God's word, it will be a different study. It will be a different study than reading a fascinating book. I'm going to make good on my apology and dive into my book, Education, page 124. What page? Anybody have the book, Education? You have it at home? There's several of you? Okay. This is an amazing, amazing, listen to this. Now, I'm going to tell you two things about the Bible. The first one is going to be about intellectual training. The second one is about our spiritual nature, okay? So the first one is what? First one is intellectual. The second one is spiritual. Okay, it's on page 124. As a means of intellectual training, the Bible is more effective than any other book. Actually, that's not the end of the sentence. There's a comma. Or all other books. What's the last word? Combined. Amen. Who wrote the Bible? Do you believe it? When you read it, when you read God's word, are you going to believe it? It's God's word. You want to argue? You can argue. You know who's right and who's wrong. Am I? Okay, all right. Okay, so here's the point. Here's the point that this is not talking, what I just read is not talking about spiritual development. What is it talking about? Intellectual development. When you believe, when you come to God's word and you believe, there's something that's released in the mind that allows it to work differently than just a regular book. God has designed it that way. I'm going to come back to this other part here about the spiritual development, but you have to see this. Page 24, the book Education. Okay, this is amazing. Talking about Eve. She cast away faith, the key of knowledge. What's the key of knowledge? Faith. When we come to Scripture, if we don't believe it, are we going to be able to understand? What's the answer? Say no. We can't, right? We can't. We come to Scripture, if you don't believe, you're casting away the key of knowledge. Right? This is the key to understanding Scripture. If you haven't, brothers and sisters, if you don't know, if you're not positively confirmed that this is God's Word, then I suggest you stop and go find out whether it's God's Word. And if you believe it's God's Word, then we start treating it like God's Word. That's what we need to do. Okay. Sorry about that. Started yelling. Here's the second part. An even greater power of the Bible in the development of the spiritual nature. Greater power than what? Than any other book or all other books combined. Spiritual development. Intellectual development. Does God care about us? Oh. Can we comprehend how much He cares about us? Are we even close to comprehending how much He cares about us? We have no clue. Isn't that the truth? What do angels think? You know, they're so pitiful. I mean, it's just so sad. We want to go help them. You know, it's just so sad. They think, and then you get one of these great epiphanies. God opens up something new, and you go, wow, now I really understand God. Right? You've had those? This is amazing. Wow, now I finally get it. And then you're just praising the Lord, and you're reading, you're studying, and He goes, wow, oh, I thought I got it back here, but now I really get God. Wow, is He amazing. And you're just praising the Lord, this is amazing, and you're going about life, and you're studying, I want to know You. Whoa, I thought I knew You back here, and I thought I knew You, but now, wow, now I really know You. This is amazing. God, You're amazing. Anybody ever have something? I mean, you maybe not have gone to that, but you understand what I'm saying? It's amazing. He opens up to you more and more and more. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that going to stop? No. As we study, so what does that mean? Does that mean He has one of those waiting for you in your Bible? He's waiting. It's there. It's waiting for you. He's waiting for us to open it up. God is amazing. And then He wants that, and then He wants that, and then He wants that, and He wants us to keep going all the way around the world, come back over here, and keep going again. You with me? He's got so much in store for us. So this is the principle of learning. Follow God. Look and see Him. Believe in Him, believe in His word, and follow what He says. And understanding will be yours. Wow. What a God. We need to study more. Anybody with me? We need to study with a different mindset. A study with a deep passion for I must know God. Lord Jesus, I want to know You. I want one of those epiphanies. Could You give me a little one today? Something new? Does God want to give good gifts to His children? Isn't it beautiful? And so how do we treat Him through the day? How do we treat Him through the week? Okay, I'll close with this story. I was convicted that I needed to get up early in the morning and I needed to spend some time with Jesus. Now, I need to tell you that I was a night owl. Do we have any night owls in here that go, oh, 1 o'clock, I probably should go to bed. All right. I'm assuming by the chuckling, you either are one or know one, and it's a bit unfortunate. Well, let me jump to the end of the story and say, praise God, He can change a night owl. Oh, yes. There's hope, sister. Oh, now don't be pointing now. Come on now. All right. Yeah, well, here's what it is. I know it. Now, for me, I was under conviction. You understand? So the Lord was pointing to me saying, you need to change this. So, now, I'm just being honest with you. I was in battle, right? Get up at 6 in the morning? That's so early. Okay, 7, and I got class at 7:30, I could still make it to class. That's enough time, right? Because I always eat breakfast. I mean, if it's a quick one, I still always eat breakfast. Got into the habit of that, praise the Lord. Okay, so I need to spend time with God. So I got to do this. And now you do realize that what happens in the evening affects morning. Anybody notice that? Okay, a couple of you. So what do I do? How do I start this thing? Do I say at 9 o'clock, okay, I'm going to bed? Oh, boom, and I'm out. Does that happen? Not on your life. It's not going to happen. I can close my eyes. I can force myself to stay still. That's what I do to Freddie, kind of help him settle down. Okay, you don't have to go to sleep. You just have to close your eyes and stay still. That's the only two rules right now. So, you know, that when you do, so I can make myself do that too. But I don't go to sleep because the brain's figuring this. Oh, I should write that down. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just all over the place. So how's it start? Started for me in the morning because I have to write it down. I have to set the alarm clock, and that's where it starts. Okay, set the alarm clock. So, alarm clock goes off. So what's going through my mind? Oh, he's got an epiphany waiting for me. Right? No. Okay, it was the other side of that pendulum. Oh Lord, no. Randy, I'd like to talk with you. Oh Lord, could we do a little, you know, just drag this a little bit more? Lord, I don't want to do this. I mean, I want to, but I'm really tired. Okay. So here was the deal I made with the Lord. Now, it was simple, and you'll probably think this is irrelevant. It's something way too simple, okay? Here's the simplicity of it. Lord, I'll throw off my covers if you can get me out of bed. Okay? Now, it's just what happened, because maybe he knew what he put in my mind, but it sounded good to me, because I could do that. But it was cold, so, boom, you know, I was still in Michigan at the time. So, throw off the covers, and the next thing I know, I'm standing up. It's habit, right? You throw off the covers, you stand up. It's like, oh, man. I didn't think you were going to do that. I thought I'd lay there with the covers open. I'd be cold, and you didn't. I'd go back to sleep. Hey, but that's what I'm telling you the truth. It's what happened. I swung the covers off in faith that I want to do this, but I don't. And I stood up, and then I was like, okay, I'm up now. So now I have to go to the bathroom. So on the way to the bathroom, so I'm thinking to myself, Lord, please, I'm just asking you, make it worth it for me. Could you do that? I don't want to be here. Please, make it worth it for me. So that's what happened. I went downstairs, and the Lord just, whoa, study, whoa. Oh, thank you. You are so cool. This is amazing. That's it. That's the short version. That's the sermon. All that front setup is about, you know what? If you are inspired to read your Bible more deeply tomorrow, praise the Lord. But there's a choice that's gonna start itself. You remember we talked about that? This morning and this feeling in the morning has to do with what? What goes on the night before? And that's another sermon, another story. I'll let it go. God has a deep desire to talk with us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a child that doesn't want to talk to daddy? You know what that feels like. If you're a daddy, you know what that feels like. You know how it gets inside you and it rips your gut. And daddy wants to talk with us. He wants to, He wants to know us. He wants us to know him. We are so far blessed. I pray that God will get the glory out of anything that comes of this, that anything that happens this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow morning, it will glorify God. And you will know that again, he's talked to you, to your heart, because he loves you. Let's sing in response to that, will you?
We invite you to stand as we sing together hymn number 321, My Jesus, I Love You, hymn number 321. Let's stand as we sing.